When I come to that conclusion and when I called upon Him, He answered. Amen?
Amen.
He answered. Shall be saved. And when I called upon Him, He heard. When I asked, He answered. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. So if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life today, it's simply because you have not asked Him and invited Him to come into your life. I can tell you, I've lived on both sides, so to speak. I have served two masters, so to speak, because they're not but two masters. It's either the devil or it's either God. And you're either following and listening to one or the other. You can't serve both of them at the same time. I know there's a lot of people trying it. They think they can serve the devil during the week and come to church on Sunday and shout hallelujah. But let me tell you, that don't work. God don't want you just one day a week or 2 days a week. He wants you every day of the week. Amen.
You know, Brother Ralph?
Mm-hmm.
I had a stroke. I'm in the hospital. I'm sick. But He woke me up. He said, you got to talk to me more than you can talk to me.
Mm-hmm. He wants to hear from His people.
Yes,
he wants to hear from His people. If you have your Bible this morning, when you finally stand with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading about verse 3. Then may later go on if time allowed, but I believe there's enough right here in these first three verses that we can get the point made. If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
Paul was writing to the Thessalonian churches, and he said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Yeah.
Verse 3, it says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of Your words here this morning. Bless this, Your servant, this morning, Lord. Bless this church as Your servants this morning, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will come in a mighty way this morning. I pray, God, that some way, somehow, Lord, that deaf ears will be opened and blinded eyes. I pray, God, that You visit each in every pew this morning. I pray, God, that You knock upon every heart's door, from the least to the greatest this morning. God, if we miss such a great opportunity, Lord, as we have today, we may not see this opportunity tomorrow. So I pray, God, that You will just let them know today is a day of salvation. Lord, I believe it is somebody's day today. And Lord, we just put it in Your hands now, Lord. I ask God that You will bless this morning. I ask God that You'll take Your servant this morning and use him, Lord, the way that You would have me to be used. Give me the wisdom, give me knowledge, give me understanding this morning that I might bring it forth, Lord, that it might touch somebody's heart this morning. I know this morning I'm just a servant as well as the rest, but I know I've been chosen to be a mouthpiece for You this morning, Lord. I pray, God, that You will loosen the tongue this morning, God, that it might bring forth this word boldly this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
You know, I've been reading and looking and reading and looking this week, and sometimes, you know, it's hard Sometimes I just open the Word of God and every page it seems like the Word of God just jumps out at me, and then sometimes I'll struggle. And I think the times of struggle is I'm looking for something that I want to see and not what God is wanting me to see.
Exactly, brother.
But yesterday I was sitting there and I was reading and what really brought this message, I guess, to my mind yesterday afternoon. I was at a place, and I'll not name the place, but it's a place of business, and I went to the restroom, and I walked in, and back in the back there laid a sergeant where somebody had just shot up with drugs. I just turned around and walked out, told the lady. She said, "I'll get somebody," and she went and got somebody, and they went in and got it out. But I walked out and I sat down on a bench and I began to weep from my heart, knowing that there was people out here in this world today without any hope. People out here today that is just trying to survive from one day to the next. Do not have any life. They do not have any life. They do not have any joy. And they do not have any peace. Amen. They're looking for it, but they're looking in the wrong places.
Exactly.
And putting their hope in the wrong things. And I sat there and I thought about that and I wept in my heart. And I said, "God, help me some way, somehow, to reach out to these people that Satan has absolutely taken over their minds." You know, there are good people out there. There are also people that used to go to church that knew the Lord that is out there, that you got addicted to them. You know, the Bible tells us in John 10:10 that Satan is our enemy. And he said the enemy has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord this morning, I want to tell you you're walking on dangerous ground.
Amen.
If you're not saved this morning. Amen. Because the enemy is after you. The enemy already has you as long as you listen to him. He will lead you down a path of destruction. He will take away your joy. He will destroy your family. He will steal your happiness. That's what Satan does. He said he's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But thank God Jesus said, "But I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly." Can anybody say amen?
Come on.
I'm glad that I found a new life in Jesus Christ. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Amen. I wouldn't go back into what Jesus brought me out of for this world and everything in it. You could offer me all the money that's in every bank in this world to go back into the way and live the way that I once lived, and I would say no, but no thank you. I wouldn't even thank them for the offer, because I know that I am serving one that is going to protect me, take care of me, And I know when this old life is over, I know that's where I'm going to spend eternity at, and that's with Jesus Christ. Amen. I like what old Job said. He said one time when his friends came to visit him, and what some friends they were to comfort him, and then they got accusing him of sin. And anyway, on over in the Bible, Job said one day, he said, I will see God through my own eyes and not through another man's eyes. Hallelujah. I may see God through somebody, through the preaching of the Word or teaching of the Word. I may see Jesus Christ and the evidence of Him. But one of these days, my friend, I'm going to see Him with my own eyes. Amen. And when I see Him, I ain't going to say what I'm going to do because I have no clue. I'll probably come unglued. Amen. When I get face to face. But let me say this morning, friend, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul was writing here to the Thessalonian church, and he had just written them there in chapter 4 about people being concerned and worried about over those who had died, if they would ever see him again, and so on and so forth. But Paul straightened them out in this letter here he wrote to them, and he said, but then he went on in chapter 5, and he said, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, he said, ye have no need that I write unto you. And so what he was saying, you have wrote it before, you know it, and I can stand here this morning, and I can understand really why Paul was saying that. How many times have you been in church? How many times have you heard the Word of God preached? How many times have you been to Bible study? How many times? And you know, we just every three times a week, sometime more, we have church, amen. And so Paul was writing here the times and the seasons, which was specific times and specific points of time in history. And so it's not that we don't know right from wrong, hey man. It's not that we don't know God's rules this morning, but I guess sometimes we just need somebody to warm us up a little bit. Amen. Sometimes, God called and God sent. It's not about me. It's not about what I've said or not about, that's about what I have done, but it's about what God has done in my life. Amen. I'm going to tell you today, you think it's an easy job pastoring a church. Just try it sometime. Amen. But I can tell you, I've enjoyed it for the last 18, 19, 20 years, whatever I've been here. There's been a lot of ups and been a lot of downs. But I can tell you, Brother Larry, if I could weigh them out on a set of weights, I'll guarantee you there's been a lot more good times than there have been bad times. Amen. So that goes along with it. Sometimes we got to go through some things, to just get closer to the Lord. Sometimes if life was all easy, we would wind up drying up spiritually. Amen. If we never had any troubles, we never had any trials, then there'd be something wrong with us. Amen. But sometimes, we as Christians, I do it myself and you do too. When everything's going good in your life and all your bills is paid up and maybe you got some spare money to go vacation or whatever, and everybody, no sickness, no death or death in your family, your automobile's not tore up, you got everything taken care of for months down the road, and now then I'm going to take what God's blessed me with, and I'm going to enjoy it. But we need to be careful about these things. Amen. Because when everything is on easy street, and I'll read you something here just in a minute, you better watch out when life seems to be on easy street. Amen. You better watch out. You better enjoy them times. But you better not forget that Satan Satan is out there looming somewhere in the corner, amen, waiting to bring you down. Why? Because he will steal your joy. So Paul said of the times and the seasons, brethren, he said, you have no need that I write unto you. In verse 2, he said, for ye, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He didn't say, I'm coming as a thief. He said, I'm coming like a thief would come. And we know a thief has come to steal. And we know that he's usually waits till it gets dark. And then he rambles around. He checks whether nobody's home. And so on and so forth. And then he will come. In other words, what he was saying, you don't know when the thief is going to strike. Well, Jesus said, I'm coming that way. You just don't know when I'm coming, but I'm coming. Amen. How many believes that he's coming one of these days? The Bible says over in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, Jesus said, he said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven. He said, but my Father only. He's the only one that knows when it's all going to come down. Amen. I know that men has predicted it. I know back in 2000, people were predicting that 2000, everything was going to shut down. All the computers was going to shut down. All the electricity is going to shut down. People went out. God help them. They went out and they bought generators. They bought gasoline. They bought green beans, so to speak. They bought all kinds of canned fruit. They stormed it up in their cellar. We're ready if the end of time comes. How foolish can people be? Amen. He's coming in an hour that we think not. No man knoweth the day or the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. Nobody knows. I don't know. And you don't know. These philosophers, they don't know. They've tried to figure it out. But let me tell you, when God says something, that's the way that it is. I don't believe he's going to tell me when he's coming. And I don't believe he's going to tell you when he's coming. And I don't believe he's going to tell anybody else when he's coming. But the Bible said that he's a-coming. And let me tell you something. And he said it, but as of the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered unto the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you understand what he said? He said it'll be as of the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were given in marriage. In other words, friend, the Bible says it marriage and given in marriage, it refers to carrying on the normal course of life. But one thing's wrong without, and that was without, they was not heeding the word of God. They were not thinking about the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you, he said, as it was in these days, it'll be that way when I appear in the eastern sky. Let me tell you, we are set up for the coming of the Lord, Brother Mark. Why? Because as it was in that day, so shall it be. We're eating, we're drinking, we're married, we're given in marriage. It's just a normal, a routine thing. But let me tell you, a lot of people today, hallelujah, a lot of people today, as it was in the days of Noah, they're not heeding the judgment of the coming of the Lord. They're not hearing my voice and your voice today. It's going in one ear and out the other. And just it was as the days of Noah, so shall it be in that day of the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
People are not looking for Jesus today. Come on, church. They're looking for pleasant, or ain't it, pleasures out here. Ricky is talking this morning. There, hit on that a little bit. People today, and sadly to say today, there's a lot of Christian people don't really believe he's coming either.
Amen.
Don't get quiet on me. Jesus said in Matthew 6 or 7, he said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
He said, but it's them that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Brother Darrell, Darrell Carnes yesterday. And he gets around. And he told me, he said, Brother Ralph, I've never seen times like it before. Never seen times like it before. He said, people is living any old way they want to live.
Yep. Amen.
He said, they're not hearing the word. They're not hearing the truth. And he said, Brother Ralph, he said, 90% of the churches right here today said only have service, one service a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Sunday morning. It's on Sunday morning. He said they've sat in the churches and he said they've died spiritually, and he said the sad part of it is they don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize it. That's sad, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's sad. I said, well, Brother Darrell, I find that a lot of people that does go to church, they go because they feel obligated to go.
Yep.
On Sunday morning. It makes their comfort, conscience feel a little bit better.
Yep.
They don't go to receive anything. They go because, well, Grandma and Grandpa went here.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad went here. Grandpa was a preacher in that church for years. Dad was deacon for years. I just go there. I know things ain't like they used to be, but I feel obligated to go there. Some of us dried up and died. Just face the fact it is. Do you think they ain't? I invite you to go to some of them sometime. And then there's some, there's so much social activity. That's all it's about is socializing.
Amen.
That's all it's about. And then we wonder what is a matter with this world that we're in. Let me tell you what's the matter with it. America has turned their backs on God. America has got to the point in her laws and her political leaders today, it's got to the point, if it feels good, do it. It's all right. If it feels good, do it. That's the way a lot of churches are today. If it feels good, then do it. Well, I'm not going to so-and-so church. Man, they shout and they clap and they holler and they carry on and so forth. I'm not going to that church. I wasn't brought up in that church. I was brought up in church that you go to church and you sit down and you don't whisper, you don't do nothing. I believe in respecting the house of God. I believe in it, but I also believe in minding the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when the Bible says on over there in chapter 5 of Thessalonians, it said, quench not the Spirit. That's simply saying right there, friends, when the Spirit of God is a-moving, and if it ever moves, don't stifle it. Don't put it out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we can't stifle or put out the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why? By denying the Holy Spirit. If you want to see the Spirit of God move, and you want to see your family get in church and get saved, and you want to get blessed, let me tell you something. We need to have a day of Pentecost again. We all need to come together in one mind in one place. And that one mind he's speaking about, looking for that promise of the Lord said he would send back. And if we'd all come to God's house with our minds filled upon the Lord and what's waiting for us on the other side, and hey man, and we'd come knowing the blessing we've been blessed with every week, every day. God blesses us. Hey, we're a blessed people, and then we'll come out to God's house and say, well, no, we ought to praise God, we ought to raise our hands, we ought to say hallelujah, we need to just come to the house and sit quiet. Let me tell you something, I'm not a quiet person. When God blesses me, I want the world to know it. And let me tell you, I just don't want to see me blessed. I want to see you, and you blessed. I want to see everybody blessed.
Amen, brother.
Sure, I can preach a good field sermon. Amen. I can do that. I can go out here and I can start telling people, hey, come by church. Anything goes there. Just come to my church. We got a bar in the basement. Just come on over. We meet on Wednesday night. We don't have church on Wednesday night. We just meet and we sociable drink and sit around and talk about what our next move is to get more people in. I want to tell you, don't come here expecting that because it ain't going to happen. If you want a drink, I'll give you something to drink. And hit from the fountain. Hey, man, this morning, I want to tell you, I've drunk just about everything in my time, including rubbing alcohol. Hey, man, but let me tell you, when I quit drinking that stuff and I started drinking from the fountain of God, I want to tell you, I've never been as drunk and as high on Jack Daniels as I have. When God blesses me and the Spirit of God comes down. I said God is wanting to bless his people, and we need to get up and let him bless us. Amen. He can't bless you for sitting on a seat of do nothing. Hallelujah. Some people go to church and they'll cross their arms. And they'll say, all right, preacher, bless me if you can. I don't believe you can. I'm not the blesser God is.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. If you expect this boy to bless you, you're wrong. Amen.
Yeah.
I'll bless you, all right. I'll blister you if you don't wake up.
Come on, brother.
Preacher told me, he said, I'll preach. I said, preacher, yes. He said, I'll preach twice in this church. I ain't going to name a church or that. I'm not a church fighter. I don't put them down. I don't go there. I don't know what happened. Except what he told me. He said, I went there. And he said, Brother Ralph, he said, I preached Sunday morning. And he said, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I mean, it was hard.
Yeah.
He said, there wasn't very many there. And he said, they just sat there. He said, they just sat there. He said, like this.
Been there. Been
not a hey man.
Been there.
Not a hand raised. Not a praise in the house.
Been there.
He said, if you ever preach a place like, I said, a number of them.
Yeah.
He said, was it hard? I said, yes, it was. We're living in sad times.
Yes, we are, brother.
Churches are going down, down, down. I'm talking about the true church.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the true church. The Bible believing, Bible living.
Yeah.
Why?
Amen.
I told Brother Keevan last week, he was talking about what a spirit they was here. I talked to him the next day and he said, Brother Ralph, I'm sitting here talking to a pastor where he was going to have a revival, sing a revival for two nights down in Dixon, Tennessee. Is that where he said he was going? He said, I'm sitting here talking to him. And he said, Brother Ralph, I was just telling him about what an awesome service we had there at Bloomington last night. He said, I needed that. He said, I needed that. He said, I felt more spirit there and seen the moving of the Spirit more than I have seen it. He said, for many, many days. And he said, it gets hard out on the road when you go to these churches and they just sit there and never raise a hand, never nod their head, not nothing. He said, just sit there and stare at you. He said, it's hard. It's hard. We sang that song. I don't know what you come to do, but I'm going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
If y'all get tired of praising with me, just let me know. And one of us will leave. But I can promise you, Brother Bill, wherever I go, I'm going to praise Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because I've got something to praise Him for.
Amen.
People, Christian people today walks around and you can't tell the Christian from the sinner. You can't tell the church from the world a lot of times.
Amen.
You know why? Because the church is part of the world anymore. And the world is part of the church anymore. There's a dividing point there. The church needs to be a church.
Amen.
And the world needs to be the world. But see, we're caught up in it, Lee. We're caught up in it. We want both ways, don't we? I said, we want both ways. We want the world during the week. We want what we want. We want to do what we want to do, John. We want to go where we want to go. We want to live, Mark, the way we want to live. Hey, man, we want to talk the way we want to talk. We want to believe and want everybody else to believe what we believe. We want everybody else to do what I do. Hey, man, come on, church.
Amen.
Self-ordinated. Self-righteousness. Preacher gets on somebody's toes anymore a little bit. They can't wait to get home to let the world know about it. They get on the internet or on their Facebooks or on their phones. You say, oh, Ralph, I don't do that. Quit lying. Quit lying. I had a man tell me one time, he said, Ralph, I don't have to go to your church. I said, why? He said, I'll find about everything happened. He said, probably before you get home. I said, you might not find about what all goes on. You ought to just come see sometime. People tell them, they might tell them things they don't need to hear, not need to tell you. But the way to find out is come and see for yourself.
Oh,
yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Come and see for yourself. A lot of people say, well, man, I tell you what, I want to praise the Lord, but I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid to praise the Lord. If you're a Christian, you want to praise the Lord. Amen. If you want to raise your hand, you've got the freedom to do it here. Amen.
Amen.
Don't come to this church and sit there all bound up. Amen. I want to do something. If you want to do something, if you want to say amen, say amen. If you want to raise your hand, raise your hand and praise the Lord. If you want to get up and dance a little bit, I'll dance a little bit with you if you want to. Amen. The Bible said who the Son, He said free. He's free indeed. Church, don't be bound down by Satan. Amen. You're free this morning. When Jesus set me free from sin, it didn't hit me right off, but it hit me later.
Yeah.
I knew I was a new man.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what Jesus does. Jesus changes lives.
Yes.
Church don't change lives.
Right.
Preachers don't change lives, Ricky.
Yeah.
We just preach the word on who can change lives.
Right.
We don't do the healing.
Nope.
We just preach about the one that does do the healing. We're all servants of God this morning. Amen.
Amen, brother.
He told the disciples when he's going away, they were sad and his heart broken. And they're just all tore up. And Jesus said, If you love me, you will rejoice because I go to my Father. Amen. And probably they said, well, why you mean rejoice because I go to my Father? He said, because when I go to my Father, he said he will send back the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Comforter. And he will put it in you. And he said he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen. And he said he'll never leave you nor never forsake. He said these things that you see me do, if you will come and be my disciple and follow me, but you've got to get close enough to God to get this offer. He said you can do greater things that you've seen me do. Why? Because he said my Father is going to be in you as he's in me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Amen, brother.
You people preaching me to death. I don't want you knowing it.
Amen.
I believe that here.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Bless his heart, Lord. But he said, of the day and the hour no man knoweth. He said, to be ye therefore ready, because he said, I'm coming in an hour that you think not.
Yeah. Get ready. Stay ready.
The church, the majority of the church, they don't believe him. They don't believe him, Marty. If they believed him, you'd see him in the house of God more. You'd see him more alive more. If you believe, you wouldn't see him out here at the places that you went to when you're sinners. You wouldn't see him going in to these beer places, call themselves Christians. Hey, man, on Sunday, you wouldn't see him going into these bars. You say, oh, I've seen him. And they, some of them have seen me. And buddy, you talking about looking like guilty sheep.
Oh, yeah.
I know what they're saying. Well, that preacher followed me. I ain't following around no war. It don't matter what I know whether you do or not. Up to a point. But you can't hide nothing from God.
That's right.
Can't hide nothing from God. If you're going to live like the world, live like the world. It's dangerous. Professing to be a Christian and still living for the devil. That's dangerous. Jealous. God said, I'm a jealous God. I'll not have any other God for me. God said, you're either for me or you against me, church. Amen. We either need to make up our mind whether we're for God or whether we're going to have a worldly church or a godly church. But I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise him because I know he's worthy to be praised.
Right.
How many of you even took it into consideration when you woke up this morning? When you got up? How many of you just took a minute when you woke up? Now don't lie to yourself because God knows it. How many of you just took a few seconds to say, God, I thank you for opening my eyes that I can see for another day. How many prayed for your pastor this morning, your Sunday school teacher this morning?
Yes,
two or three of you.
Come on.
Been good. Could you two or three? Would y'all like to recruit some more to help you pray for him? If they would pray for it, it's no telling what this preacher would do. He may do flip-flops. You think that's funny, don't you? But we just take it for granted, don't we? We get up, and there's probably not a one in here this morning. Probably not a one, truth be known. That didn't hear that little voice of Satan say, well, you don't need to go to church today. Beautiful day. You need to go and lay out on the beach. You need to take your boat and go over to life. You need to mow your yard. You fooled around yesterday. You didn't get your yard mowed. You got to go back to work Monday. Just stay home, mow your yard, and relax. Take care of it. Devil got all kinds of excuses. Has he ever offered anybody an excuse? Did he offer anybody an excuse this morning not to come to church? Well, if he didn't offer you an excuse, you're really special. See, he don't want us in God's house. There's a battle going on within. There's a spiritual battle. Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against wickedness. It's this whole world, amen, out here. The Bible says over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says this. Now listen to this. He said, "This know, that in the latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. From such," he said, "stay away from." Does anybody not understand what the Bible said?
Yeah.
In the latter days. How many believe we're in the latter days?
Amen.
You better believe it.
Yep.
In the latter days, he said, some will depart from the faith. And if we think about it, every one of us could think of somebody who used to go to church and raise their hand and praise God, and now they're out there on drugs, they're out there on alcohol. They're out there, they allowed Satan to come in and just absolutely destroy them. And the Bible said to be, doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils is these teachers. These teachers that claims to be teachers of Christ, but they're false teachers. They're from hell. So he's warning us to beware, because he said in the latter days, some is going to depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, giving themselves over to, and doctrines of devil. These seducing spirits is simply demonic spirits. People, if you don't realize that there's demonic spirits out there, and probably in your own family, I've got them in mine, and you've probably got them in yours too. Demonic spirits. You say, "Well, don't get on them demonic spirits." You better listen to them. Amen?
Amen.
You better be able to witness to them. Because if you don't, they will destroy you. And they will destroy your family. You say, "Ralph, that's scary. Don't talk about it." I've encountered them a number of times.
Yeah.
And you better be where you're supposed to be at.
Oh, yeah.
When you're called upon to help pray them out of them. Because if you're not, they're going to come out of them and they're going to go into you.
Amen.
You say, "It ain't coming into me." Yeah, tough guy, huh? When you go up against Satan one-on-one, he's going to chew you up and spit you alive.
Amen.
What did he tell Peter, John? What did he tell Peter? He said, "Peter," he said, "Satan desires to have you." Peter said, "What do you mean desires?" He said, "He wants you." He said, Peter thought he was a bad dude, didn't he? He said, "He'd take you, Peter." He said, "He would sift you as flour." Is that what he said? He said, "He'd take you and chew you up, spit you out." You think you can overcome the devil on your own? Don't be a fool.
Oh, no.
You don't have to do it the first place. You don't have to do it. You say, "Well, you talk awful brave." When I've got my big brother Jesus in front of me, I can talk to the devil any way I want to talk. And sometimes I tell him a head full. I tell him just what I think of him. Oh, he might stand back and grit his teeth and snarl and carry on. But let me tell you something, Mark. He can't get to me. You know why? Because God has got a hedge built around his people. Satan can't get them. The only way Satan can get you is if you come out for that hedge and you start following him. Well, I didn't preach what I was going to preach, but that's all right. Does anybody agree where Ralph Withy was at in the days of Noah? Ignoring the Word of God. They ignored Noah. They ignored, more than anything, they ignored Noah's message. Noah said, "You better help me build this big boat." He said, "Because it's going to come a flood." They said, "Flood? It ain't never rained." Said, "Who in the world, you old fool, who in the world ever heard of a rain?" Went out there and old Noah would preach, and then he'd build on that boat some more. They laughed, made fun of him, wagged their heads. But the Bible said when he got her finished, he went inside. You know who closed the door? God closed the door. You know what happened when he got inside? it started to rain. Mm-hmm. You know how many days it rained?
49.
It covered the mountains. It covered the hill. You know what happened to them people that laughed at Noah? When God shut the door, they was left behind. Why were they left behind? Because they didn't hear the preaching of Noah. They did not believe God. Why will sinners, why will people be left behind when Jesus returns? Simply because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the Word of God. That's the only way. Your only escape. The Bible said there, said you, they will not escape. As travail cometh upon a woman, as the labor pains comes upon a woman, when that baby gets ready to come, it's going to come. Amen, ladies? It's going to come. They ain't going to stop it. I ain't never had no labor pains, but I did have morning sickness with every one of mine. My wife didn't. I couldn't stand to smell bacon or eggs or nothing else. She'd start cooking breakfast and I'd hit the door. But that's not really what I'm talking about. When that baby's in there, it's going to come out. There ain't no stopping it. When Jesus comes, there ain't no stopping Him. When He comes, He's going to come. Are you ready this morning? If you're not ready, you're in a good place to get ready this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, come up here and let me pray with you. I'll be glad to pray with you. If you don't want to come yourself, if you're sitting by someone, wife, husband, friend, neighbor, whatever, if you don't want to come yourself, reach over and get them and say, will you walk with me up here? And if they won't do it, you raise your hand. I'll come right where you're at. I don't care. I'll come right where you're at and pray with you. I love you and Jesus loves you. Will you stand with me? This altar is open.
There's a window into heaven. I can close my eyes and see where there are no earthly struggles. And the soul there is set free. Where the deaf and dumb are shouting, 'cause the blind can finally see. Those crippled legs are dancing across the crystal sea. Now there's a special place in heaven where those unborn babies play, and they're rocked in arms by mamas whose chance had slipped away. And all those unwanted children say, my daddy, he's the king. And there's smiles on all their faces as they spin around and sing. Now don't that sound like heaven? And don't that sound like home, where the Son of God is reigning and those tears are finally gone? There is overtaken by the light that's always on. The price of heaven, it's expensive, but don't you worry about the cost. It was paid in full by Jesus when He hung upon that cross. And all those things that He has promised, they'll He said, as an eternal reminder for the precious blood He shed. Now don't that sound like heaven? And don't that sound like home? Where the Son of God is reigning. Taken by the light that's always on. It's expensive, but don't you worry about the cost. It was paid in full by Jesus when He hung upon that cross. And all those things that He has promised, they'll be there just like He said, as an eternal reminder for the precious blood He shed. And don't that sound like heaven? And don't that sound like home? Where the Son of God is reigning and those tears are finally gone. There is overtaken by the light that's always on.